This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
So, the federal government announced yesterday that they had come to a deal with Google in the back and forth over the Online News Act. And in the end, it sounds kind of like the federal government didn't so much come to terms so much as they met the terms of Google in their negotiations, at least from my take on this. The feds had said they felt Google's compensation should be in the neighborhood of $175 million. Google said, no, about $100 million. It ended up at $100 million. The feds wanted Google to negotiate with media companies. Google said, no, just make one entity. Come on, let's make this simple. And in the end, it's one entity. So, I mean, there's other things that go into it, but the two big ones, the two sticking points that we heard about seem to have been resolved favorably, if you're Google, I would think. But in the end, a deal has been reached and Google will continue to share Canadian news online. So what do we make of it? We're going to speak with Blaine Haggart, an associate professor of political science at Brock, written a bunch of articles about C18 for the Center for International Governance Innovation, and recently published a book with Natasha Tusikov called The New Knowledge, Information, Data, and the Remaking of Global Power. Blaine, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate your time.
Well, my pleasure.
Okay, so at first glance, like I say, it looks like the feds got the deal that they wanted. Google got the terms of the deal they wanted. Is that a fair assessment? We got a deal, but it seems like Google got exactly what they were looking for.
Yes, except for the one thing I'd caution is that we don't know for sure yet, because all we've heard, we've got the kind of the headline member, and like you say, that instead of having like, you know, many or separate negotiations, yeah, just kind of like negotiation one thing, but we don't know the regulations, like if there are conditions attached to it. So the C18, the Online News Act, is more than just the funding thing. There's a lot of things in there as well.
Yeah.
So what we'll want to look for to see how this ultimately plays out is, for instance, who's included and excluded from this news collective? How are the revenues going to be divvied up? Is the agreement going to be public or subject to regulatory approval? You know, how transparent will the process be? And then also, for me, the big one is that in the bill, there is a requirement that, you know, that Google and Meta don't discriminate unduly against news organizations, like changing their algorithm, down ranking them, and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing I'll be looking for is to see if those rules are in, and that'll tell us, I think, where the real, you know, how we say winners and losers, how they
sure
play out.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. Like, do we have any indication in terms of who that $100 million will, who even has an opportunity to make a claim? Has that been determined, or is that still to be negotiated as well?
I don't. Maybe something's changed in the past, like, say, hour or so, because this thing has been moving ridiculously.
It has, yeah.
I don't think we know yet. So that's kind of one of the big things. This whole thing was kind of based on the Australian example, right?
Yep.
And it was what they ended up with eventually. It was criticized because Google and Meta were allowed to do agreements in secret, and they were allowed to do agreements with certain companies and news agencies and not others. And so Canada, its legislation, the reason it was set up like the way you're talking about, like multiple entities and all that stuff, was to try to make sure that the money gets to as many, you know, news organizations as possible. So what I'll be looking for to see is if that kind of intent survives this final negotiation, because I think that would be a good thing,
yeah,
to have more money going to more companies, right?
Well, I think so, and I think, you know, when you take a look at $100 million is not, it's, I mean, I think I read somewhere yesterday that the Toronto Star lost $50 million last year, so I mean, it's not gonna be the cure-all by any stretch of the imagination, but it's definitely gonna help, and I think it's really gonna help the smaller entities. People, Google maybe not quite so much, but Meta specifically, they really rely on the shares, and they really rely on the internet to sort of spread their content for them. So this will be positive for them, even if it's not a financial windfall. At least their content, it will be getting back in front of potential readers and subscribers.
Yeah, I think it's two things. First of all, it's not nothing. I mean, I think, you know, anybody would be either bananas or ultra filthy rich to kind of like, you know, poo-poo $100 million.
Yeah, exactly.
But also, what I, for me, the key thing here is it removes Google's discretion to decide what it does with its money. Because Google and Meta, as you say, they had funding agreements with other companies. But the key there is that they could decide at any moment that, oh, we're not going to do this anymore. And you know, we saw what happened with Meta deciding that they're going to do that. And eventually, you know, held the gun to the head of these small companies and pulled the trigger. This provides certainty. So it's not so much that, you know, that Google is, you know, that it's $100 million that Google was already spending money. It's that now they've committed to this. They have to do this now. And so that's good. That actually removes some of Google's power to kind of, you know, potentially influence news organizations who might be worried about, you know, annoying their big funder. Now the money is guaranteed there. And that's, I think, it's a good thing.
Does it change the discussion at all with Meta? It doesn't seem to, at least not at this point. Of course, that's Facebook, where a lot of news does get shared. And they, at this point, have said, you know, we're a different model. It's a different process. We don't think we should be under the same terms of agreement as Google, because it's entirely different. Do you think this changes that conversation at all?
So I'll say I don't know, because again, it's moving fast. It's my understanding Meta says that it's not going to change anything, but also that this is a political issue. It's not really about the money, because you know, like basically, if you know, Google could find like $72 million under their under their seat cushions if they really started looking for it.
Absolutely.
So I mean, and it's the same thing with Meta. It's not really about the money. It's that they don't want to be told what to do and how to do it. They want to, like I said, have that discretion. So Meta might come back because it's a political thing, or again, they might not. Or the other thing too is that, you know, governments in Canada and abroad might want to consider the fact that, you know, whether they claim to be or not, these companies, Meta, social media, search engines, are fundamental infrastructure now in a modern information society, which means that we have to have certain expectations of them. And one of those expectations has to be that the information that gets shared on them is healthy for a democracy. And, you know, fact of the matter is, most of the healthy information we have is produced by journalists who follow certain codes and procedures and rules designed to create good information. That Meta is not doing that means that, you know, what good are they?
Right. And their argument, of course, is, listen, we're not actively seeking this out. You're giving it to us. You're using our platform. If you don't like it, don't use it. It's a pretty simple argument from Meta's standpoint.
Yeah, but the thing is, we also know that even though they say we're not into news anymore, people are still sharing news on there. I know, like, for instance, my sister was sharing an article that I wrote, or rather a friend of hers was showing an article that I wrote for the Globe and Mail, and the way they shared that, along with a kind of a snarky comment against Meta, was they took a picture of it in a JPEG, and they shared of the link. So it's still happening, but now people are being forced to share news, you know, in, like, as if it were Soviet Russia, this stuff is censored. I mean, that's the other thing, too, is that Meta, we should be clear, is not just kind of blocking news media companies. They are preventing their users from sharing the information that they want to share on their systems. And again, not healthy for a democracy. And that's something we'll have to have a conversation about at some point.
Yeah, we'll see where it goes from here. Good stuff. Thanks so much, Blaine. Appreciate you being here today.
My pleasure.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.